Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Joseph E. Stiglitz is one of the most prominent economic thinkers of our time. He won the Nobel Prize for Economics in 2001 for his research on how information impacts markets. Then he won the Nobel Prize again in 2007 for his role as the lead author of an intergovernmental report on climate change. Stiglitz has served as the chief economist of the World Bank and as chair of the U.S. President's Council of Economic Advisers. Today he is professor at Columbia University. He is also a prolific author. Welcome to Read with me, Michelle Martin. And today I'm reading the book titled People, Power and Profits: Progressive Capitalism for an Age of Discontent by Joseph E. Stiglitz, who joins me now. Why has inequality risen so much in the U.S. and around the world, and is capitalism the problem?
Answer the second question first. Yes, it is largely the way our economic system is organized. It's not inherent in a market economy, in a capitalist system. One of the main points in my book, I talk about progressive capitalism, saying that there is a form of capitalism that can produce the dynamics that we think of as even more dynamics than experiencing, but making sure that the economic growth are more widely shared. The underlying problem is that the market economy not only provides incentives to create wealth, it also provides incentives for individuals to take advantage of others and to exploit others, to exploit our environment, to exploit our society. And American capitalism, 21st century style, this has become almost a predominant way of by which the wealthy get wealthy. Few people actually get wealthy by producing innovations which benefit everybody. The vast majority of wealth is created by individuals taking advantage of others. And doing so, actually, the wealth of the nation is undermined.
You write about how corporations are contributing to soaring inequality. With Facebook and Google and Amazon increasing in power, should we worry that they've gotten so big? And what should we do about it?
Yes, we should worry. Facebook, tech giant, emblematic increase in concentration of market power. But if you look more extensively over the American economy, in sector after sector, from little things to big things, you see increasingly commerce is dominated by two, three, or four firms, or some cases only one firm. And unfortunately, but not surprisingly, when you have such concentration of market power, there's a temptation to take advantage of that market power. When you raise prices, people's well-being, standard of living, just as much as you would if you lowered their wages. And so what we need at this juncture is a new era of competition policy, antitrust policies of the kind that we had 140 years ago at the beginning of the era of antitrust, the beginning of the progressive era. But unfortunately, we've not kept up to date our competition laws. We allowed what's sometimes called the Chicago School ideology that says markets are naturally competitive to dominate, when it's obvious that markets are not naturally competitive, and people have known that since Adam Smith. And our firms have become even more innovative in devising ways to extend, increase, and exploit their market power.
Professor Stiglitz, why do you say in this book that incremental changes to the political and the economic system are inadequate to the tasks at hand? How dramatic are the changes that you call for in this book?
We've been talking about incremental changes for a long time. And what worries me is that some people will say, oh, in order to respond to inequality, we just need to make sure we give more educational opportunities. That's obviously important, but that's not enough. What has happened almost systematically over the last 35 years is that we've eviscerated workers' rights, consumer rights. We've undermined principles of corporate governance. I mentioned before, we've evolved into an economy in which there's pervasive market power. Our antitrust laws are not up to the task. So what I'm calling for is saying that these are examples of fundamental changes that have to be made to our economic system. Basically, you can think of it in the following way, that we need a new social contract. Yes. That we got out of balance beginning in the Reagan administration, where too many people bought the idea that just leave it to the market, market will take care of everything. And we now are bearing the consequences of that in terms of this higher inequality, but we've also had lower economic growth, and we're facing an environmental crisis with climate change at a time when those who want to leave it to the market say we should strip away even the limited environmental regulations that we have.
Professor Stiglitz, you write that you grew concerned about increasing inequality while you served on the Council of Economic Advisers on Clinton's CEA. And you also write that Trump can't be blamed for many of your country's problems, but that he's helped crystallize the divides. Is government the problem or the solution?
We can only solve these problems through collective action, through government. These are problems that are mostly created by unfettered markets or underregulated markets. The problem of the concentration of market power, the abuses of the tech giants, of Facebook, abuses of privacy, abuses of market power, those are from the market. The abuses of our environment are a result of the market, and the excesses of inequality are the result of the market. So to me, it's very clear that at least many of our key societal problems have been created by underregulated markets, where too many of those at the top have not had, you might say, a social conscience about what they're doing. And only through some form of collective action that we'll be able to restore our economy, which, remember, is supposed to serve our citizens, not the other way around. But too often we think of workers as inputs into the economy as opposed to the citizens that should be the beneficiaries of our economy.
Professor Stiglitz, are the solutions that you address in this book Western-centric, with the U.S.-China trade war a symptom of China's growing economic clout? China contributes to climate change, though. Rising inequality is also an issue in China. Would Chinese officials be able to take something from this book as well, do you think?
I hope so. Many of these issues are global in nature, and there are many in China who would like to unleash unfettered financial markets in China. I think the Chinese government, you know, has long debated the extent to which they need to have tight regulation of the financial markets. I hope my book will convince them that there is still a need for strong financial regulation. You need to have public support for protecting the environment, for making sure that the fruits of economic growth are widely distributed, for ensuring the basis of technology. The source of economic growth is basically science, the advances in technology, and government has a key role in that. 30 years ago, when China was beginning its development, the political power that they do today, as China's economy has developed, special interests have developed. And so in many ways, China is facing problems that are not dissimilar to that of others, where large, powerful groups are trying to exercise their power for their own interests. An example has been the fight against private cars and towards public transportation. Obviously, manufacturers of cars would like everybody to rely on individual cars. Mm-hmm. But it's clear in the congested urban spaces that will characterize so much of China, that you're going to need to rely on public transportation, and that's where there ought to be more emphasis.
Are there lessons that the U.S. can learn from Singapore when dealing with either globalization or inequality, Professor?
Yes, I think there are. Singapore, like other small countries, sees a lot of these problems up close and sees the consequences of them up close. Now, actually, I live in New York, and because New York is a metropolis with high level of diversity, rich, poor, New Yorkers are much more sensitive to inequality, I think, than people in other parts of the United States, and much more sensitive to the need for everybody to live together, and that means we have to have collective action. And Singapore has actually been even more emblematic of that kind of realization of the need for collective action, the role of the government in promoting innovation and entrepreneurship has been absolutely pivotal. And also even the role of the government in promoting various kinds of environment, social organization. So I think, yes, the answer is clearly there's much that we have to learn from Singapore.
Professor, final question. The cover of your book is a single fist breaking through a pile of gold. Given what we've been discussing, what can an individual do? How can someone best navigate these changes or even plan for their family's future?
Well, I think, obviously, since I stress a great deal the key role of collective action, a lot of what is going to be required is political participation and participation in various kinds of social collective activity at the voluntary and the level of government. Mm-hmm. But there's also, I think, you know, as citizens, we are engaged in constantly with others. So, for instance, as an employer, treating one's workers decently, as opposed to thinking of them just as another input, the cost of which are ought to be minimized. How we treat fellow workers, the goods that we buy, thinking about how they're produced and how the workers in those firms are treated. So to me, I think both as consumers and as employers, as workers, there is a sense of we're all part of it. You might call that the new social contract that we need, that if we're going to create the kind of society that I talk about in my discussion of progressive capitalism.
That's renowned public intellectual, winner of the Nobel Prize, and author of the book I'm reading today, People, Power and Profits, Progressive Capitalism for an Age of Discontent, Joseph E. Stiglitz. You've been listening to Read. I'm Michelle Martin.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.